In the shadows of San Francisco's art world, a deadly game unfolds. When Mara Eldritch wakes in a car trunk, hooded, mouth-taped, and hog-tied, she has no idea she's caught between two killers. Left to bleed out from slashed wrists, she refuses to die, using her own blood slickness to free herself and staggering to a highway where she waves desperately at approaching headlights. This extraordinary resilience fascinates Cole Blackwell, a renowned sculptor with a secret life who had stepped over her body that night, refusing to play Alastair Shaw's twisted game. What begins as indifference transforms into obsession as Cole discovers she survived, a first in his experience. The dance between predator and prey has begun, but who is truly which remains to be seen in this dark psychological thriller that's captivated millions. San Francisco's art scene provides the perfect canvas for this psychological thriller. Cole Blackwell, with his precise technique and enormous ego, immediately recognizes the mutilated body at Ocean Beach as Shaw's excessive handiwork. At an art showcase, Cole watches with contempt as Shaw works the room with his bleached smile, drawing women to him like flies to a pitcher plant's sticky sweetness. Despite creating superior work, Cole knows Shaw will win through connections and self-promotion. When critic Carl Danvers publishes a review praising Shaw's frenetic, colorful constructions over Cole's cold technicality, Cole's rage demands satisfaction. He meticulously plans Danvers' murder, luring him to his studio through camera-free, rain-soaked streets. As Cole tightens the garrote wire around the critic's neck, he feels no sympathy or guilt, only rage, revulsion, and pleasure. Cole's subsequent masterpiece, Fragile Ego, bones filed down, dipped in gold, and artfully arranged, sells for $750,000. The art world celebrates without knowing they're admiring the remains of one of their own, while Shaw seethes beneath his perfect smile. Mara Eldritch lives in a crumbling Victorian with eight roommates. Her attic room endures extreme temperatures, though she cherishes her small balcony for stargazing. Like many artists in the increasingly unaffordable city, she balances service jobs while watching her artistic community dissolve. Despite financial struggles, Mara finds transcendence in her art. When working, she enters the pod, a state of perfect concentration where her truest self emerges. This meditative state becomes her salvation amid constant hardship. At the gallery where Cole's gold sculpture causes a sensation, Mara is captivated by Fragile Ego, glowing celestial bodies that fill her with both longing and self-doubt. She doesn't realize this encounter will entangle her with Cole in unexpected ways, beginning with her brutal attack and miraculous survival, a resilience that will fascinate Cole beyond measure. Cole's indifference to Mara transforms into obsession upon learning she survived. Breaking into her room, he examines her sketches and books, finding marked passages about nightmares and Dracula, and the underlined text, "I do not love men. I love what devours them." Lying in her bed, he inhales her complex scent, vanilla, botanical notes, and her arousing sweat. His voyeurism escalates when he buys the property behind hers to spy on her with a telescope. One night, he watches her lying naked in the rain, touching herself, feeling intense jealousy as lightning illuminates her form. This obsession represents a new loss of control that both disturbs and exhilarates him. When he arranges for Mara to receive studio space through his grant program, their paths officially cross. Their relationship intensifies when she confronts him about her attack. Though he admits being present that night, he denies attacking her, instead cruelly noting her self-harm scars and confessing he gave her the studio simply because he wanted to. After confronting Cole, Mara transforms her fear and rage into artistic inspiration. Abandoning her safe collages, she works through the night on a larger canvas, flinging dark paint and sketching her bound body from the woods incident. "Maybe I am fucking crazy," she thinks, "and maybe that's just fine." This breakthrough culminates in her masterpiece, The Mercy of Men. At the New Voices show, viewers stand transfixed before her painting under a single brilliant light. The self-portrait shows her simultaneously elegant and broken, pierced with knives and arrows, yet wearing an ecstatic expression, her declaration of survival and defiance. Cole watches her success from across the gallery, his usual detachment crumbling. When they kiss amid camera flashes, he tastes the animal beneath his mask as he bites her lips until she bleeds. Their power struggles intensify. When Cole suggests Mara service him and another man, she refuses. Later, she brings another man to Cole's studio, having sex while staring directly at the security camera, knowing Cole is watching. For the first time, Cole feels genuine regret, violently destroying his beloved sculpture in a rare loss of control. The precarious balance between Cole and Mara shatters at a Halloween party when Alastair Shaw, dressed ironically as Rambo, approaches Mara with predatory recognition. Cole maintains his facade when Shaw provokes him, stating with arctic precision that Mara is nothing to him. Yet moments later, he delivers a razor-sharp warning to Shaw, marking his territory with barely contained violence. When Cole drags Mara outside, his fingers bruising her arm, his carefully constructed mask slips as he explains, "I fillet people with precision. This guy does what I do badly." The clinical detachment in his voice leaves Mara frozen. The game intensifies when Cole tracks Shaw to an abandoned factory, a deliberate trap. Inside, he discovers Shaw's grotesque artwork, a young woman suspended like a butterfly, surrounded by precisely arranged dead snakes. Before he can process this, police radio chatter echoes, Shaw's masterstroke, using an anonymous tip to frame Cole. With SWAT teams converging, Cole escapes with a sprained ankle. Alone in his penthouse, cleaning his wounds, he faces a truth. Mara has become his Achilles heel. Yet he promises himself, if anyone ends Mara's life, it will be him, not Shaw. She belongs to me, he thinks, with possessive fury. The fragile trust between Cole and Mara shatters when her roommate Erin is found murdered, posed like Millais' Ophelia painting. After hours at the police station, Mara hesitates to mention Cole, his words about filleting people with precision now haunting her. Detective Hawks methodically undermines Mara's certainty about Shaw's guilt, revealing his alibi and highlighting the crime scene's artistic arrangement, suggesting an artist's eye. Despite Mara's insistence about Shaw's stalking history, police focus on the lack of evidence, no forced entry, fingerprints, or DNA. When released, Cole emerges furious at her defiance of his warning to avoid police. His ultimatum comes with chilling intensity. You tried it your way. Now it's time to try mine. He insists she move into his fortress-like house immediately, offering protection that feels equally like imprisonment. With her apartment a crime scene and her roommate dead, Cole, dangerous yet protective, offers the only semblance of safety. When he extends his hand in the pre-dawn darkness, Mara takes it, asking him to take her home. Has she found protection in the arms of a predator, or merely chosen the devil she knows?